Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Renee, who is here to speak with us about her experience participating in the Big Bamboozle process, and specifically what she saw around busting through the duality bamboozle. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So fun, a whole month of busting through dualities.
Yes. Definitely. Finding out that duality is pretty much everything, right?
Finding out that duality is pretty much, what was that?
Everything.
Oh, isn't that amazing? It's really true. When you start looking, it's just everywhere, isn't it?
Yes, it's everywhere, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what did you see?
Yeah. Well, I just love what was happening. So I first started practicing with a few of the exercises and recording and listening, and then I really started using the coin, flipping the coin, and then talking into the recorder. And what I really loved about it was such a relief to get out of the conversation about this or that, or, it just felt like as I started to see it, conditioning was constantly talking it on one side or the other, hearing whether I should do this, whether I should do that. And it could be something as simple as, should I go eat here or there? Should I, drink a glass of water or not? I mean, it just was so pervasive as I started to notice.
Yeah. So a couple of really big things there to underline. One is how pervasive it is. And often, we can think, big things like, should I get married or not get married? Should I move to New York or stay in Kansas, but it's not. It's everywhere. It's everything, right? Should I drink this glass of water? Should I not? And then that other point you made of that it's playing both sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
it's coming around to argue on this side, and then it's racing around to get on the other side of the court to argue on the other side. It's doing both things.
Right.
That we have nothing to do with. Yeah.
Right, and it's just going on and on and on all the time. And if we're listening to it, then it's draining our energy, and we're just in that conversation. It's pretty much what causes us, I think, to feel bad is what I saw, just a constant, if it pulls our attention to it, then our attention is on it, and it's basically a suffering process. Because then it's going to flip to the other side. Well, no, you shouldn't do that. You should do this. And
I thought a minute ago you were telling me to do that.
Right. Yeah.
That's another great point, that we think it's designed to create some kind of resolution, right? That there really is a best thing to do here. There really is something in this. So let me just really look at this. But when we start to actually examine the process through the content to see, wow, this is actually only serving to drain my energy.
Yes.
And so having your attention on it completely drains the energy, which would speak to why it's such a relief to get to do something like flip the coin and get out of the conversation.
Yes. Exactly, because the con is that it really has your best interest at heart. It really wants to help you make a decision. And all of this. And that is the biggest con, because it doesn't and it won't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is not on your side. It will not lead to resolution.
Right. It'll just lead to suffering. And the process itself is suffering.
Yeah. I was on the radio show last week somewhere. Sherry was saying that she keeps, running into people and they'll be doing something and a little decision like that will come up and someone, I've got my coin right here. Let me flip it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of just fun to think it's this sangha-wide thing of losing interest in the belief that the content of our lives is going to actually get us somewhere.
Right. Wow, that's huge, what you just said. Yeah.
So big. And being willing to flip that coin is the, that's the concrete way of practicing, of, you know, it's that behavior change that Ashwini talks about, of being able to practice. Well, how can I really assist myself to get it, that it isn't in the content? Well, not take it seriously. Flip a coin.
Right, right, not take it seriously. That's a great one, too. Yeah. Yeah, to be in the humor of it and not take it seriously, flip the coin, do what the coin says, and you'll see that it's the process that's really determining how your life is.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is so true, isn't it? Because you flip that coin, no matter what happens, you are going to see something.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're going to see the resistance to doing whatever, if it's not the one you didn't want or the one ego doesn't want. Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to see that whole other side flare up. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that week when we were doing that assignment, the discussion at the monastery was so interesting, because what we were talking about is seeing that you didn't even realize there was a preference before flipping the coin.
Right. That's true.
Right?
That's so true. Yeah.
It feels like, gosh, I really don't know. That's why I'm in this duality. And then you flip the coin, and all that stuff that's been under there, behind the radar screen, you know, under the radar screen, running the show, comes rushing to the surface.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because before it might feel like you're kind of, you're not sure which side you're going to take, or, you know. But then when you flip that coin in, and you get to see, oh, that's the one I really wanted to do, or not.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say as ego, you know. And
exactly.
And so, so you get to see a whole bunch just in that process. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the flipping the coin to me is letting life inform.
Yeah.
Right? Because then you're out of the process, and, you know, it's the same as talking to the mentor and the recorder about it, you know, and waiting and not pushing, because conditioning is always trying to push us, which is part of that process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So stripping the urgency out of it, it sounds like.
Yeah, stripping the urgency. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and using recording and listening as a support for all of it.
For every little decision, even, if you need to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so good.
It is so good. And what I saw as a Sangha, because I was kind of looking at it with myself and on my own with the recorder, and then I was in a group discussion about duality, and it just kept kind of, as other folks were sharing, it just kept revealing more layers of the duality, you know, and they were just kind of popping up. It was like I was in that process of insight, which we've been, a few people have been talking about lately, and just seeing how, you know, gosh, it's everywhere, and I can be, you know, I can drop it and come back here and not be in that process. And it was just very, very helpful to hear other people talk about it.
Yeah, and you know, you're really underlining why I think it's so fun and so powerful to be walking through this process together, these 12 bamboozles through the year as a whole Sangha, because it is. There's what I'm seeing about it, but then there's what I'm hearing other people talk about in group, or what people are coming into the radio show about, or, you know, there'll be these regular good news updates where we get to hear from someone their experience of it, and that when we're here, when we're paying attention, that each person's experience deepens our own experience of what we're seeing around it.
Yes, because it was like, you know, like it's just on like a, I don't know what word is there, but it's like a surface level awareness maybe, or like a certain layer of awareness, and then you hear someone else, and then you get another layer of what might be part of it, and you see it, and it's just, that to me is so much fun. Like it just, to do it with everyone else is so much fun, and to see new things, and to be in that, so it's like, you've got this process of seeing new things, and being with life, and there's no decisions. You're just seeing things, and then there's the process of suffering, which is, oh my gosh, I got to make this decision or that decision or whatever, and when we do it all together, we get to be with other people, watching other people, and that kind of pulls us into it, the fun part, a lot more.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well put. That pulls us into the fun part a lot more.
Yeah.
It can seem so grim and serious when we get off by ourselves, which, of course, we're never by ourselves. We're in there with that conversation. so then to do it in the group setting you're talking about is just so fantastic. You know, my favorite experience of that is when, you know, talking to the group and then the next person talks and says, gosh, what I saw in that conversation was, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, sort of referring to that first insight and feeling like, wow, I hadn't even seen that. You know, the, so that person speaking mm-hmm. as if what
right.
I saw and what I saw was XYZ and I hadn't even seen that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so,
right.
you know, it's like we complete each other's insights for each other, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun to me. Yeah. And I really got to experience it at a really big level with the duality bamboozle. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of fun, it's been really fun, Renee. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, great. Oh, you're welcome.
And
thanks for having me. Yeah.
We're on to fear this month.
Fear. I bet it can be just
fear.
As much fun. Yeah.
I think it can. I think that there's a lot of potential for turning that one on its head. Because to have fun with fear, ooh, you know ego's going to hate that.
It doesn't even really go together, does it?
Right. Not in ego's world.
But we're going to turn it into it. Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Yep. All right. Very good. Thanks for being with us, Renee.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Renee, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
I love that. Fun with fear.
Fear is fun. Yeah.
Yes. Fun with fear. The other thing, before I forget, then I'll ask you how you are. How are you, by the way? Before
fabulous.
I go on, I'll remember. Fabulous?
Fabulous.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I enjoyed so much about that conversation, but one of the things I really enjoyed was the point that we go through duality. You know, it's such a big deal. People agonize, oh, my gosh, should I this, should I that, should I? So much suffering in that. And when you get the hang of that coin flipping thing, you realize that no matter what you come up with, you're fine. You know, that
yeah.
should I stay in Kansas or should I move to New York? It doesn't matter. As long as you're paying attention, you're going to learn a lot. And if you're not indulging a conversation about suffering, you're going to enjoy yourself. If you are indulging a conversation about suffering, it doesn't matter whether you stay or go. You're going to suffer. it's just the most wonderful thing. And to prove to ourselves that it doesn't matter. None of it matters. It only matters how I am. How I am with me, how I am with everything. That determines how my life is. Nothing else does. Nothing. It's just so freeing. And when you've got your coin in your pocket, I mean, you're ready to go.
Yes. Yes. And I've heard you say something along the lines of, as long as I don't care where I am or what I'm doing, it's easy to be happy.
That's right. That's right. Because the only thing that ever makes us unhappy is the conversation in our head that says, "This, there's something wrong with this. There's something else that's better. You should be somewhere else doing something else. Now I'm suffering." Not because I actually should be somewhere else doing something else, but because I'm listening to and believing a conversation that's saying that.
Yes.
It's just, it's so great to see that happiness, if we use that word, or fun or freedom or whatever we want to talk about, it's so simple. It's so simple and straightforward. Anybody can do it. Anybody can do it.
Like falling off a log.
Like falling off a log. And less, far, far less painful. Well, of course, it depends on what you fall into, but I think of those log rolling contests where they're in the water. You fall off the log, it's no big deal. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So what do you got for us, Michael?
I have some announcements here. Virtual meditation group. Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to enjoy the support and connection of meditating with Sangha. These conference call meditation sessions include a 30-minute sit and a reading from one of Sherry's books. Yes. Stop, Drop, and Text encourages mindfulness in how we do daily life. Sign up now for the next session starting April 18th. The limited number of spaces in the program are filled on a first-come, first-served basis. And the Jataka Tales Retreat is May 2nd through 7th in North Carolina, and we'll use the marvelous stories of the Buddha's incarnations to explore the antidotes to the three poisons, greed, hate, and delusion. Mm-hmm. This retreat with Sherry and Ashwini offers yoga, meditation, delicious meals, guidance with you, Sherry, and time to relax in the beautiful grounds of the sanctuary in the pines.
Yes. Beautiful. And it is, even though it sounds, it could sound, you know, a little intimidating, the incarnations of the Buddha. Ooh, I don't know anything about that. Doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if somebody has never meditated before either. This is a perfect, you know, if you just want to jump into practice, this is one of those perfect retreats for that. So everybody welcome.
Yes. To me, the beauty of practice is that it welcomes the newcomer and the old timer in the same way. It's wonderful.
Yes. It really is, isn't it? It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
It's astounding how much practice always works for wherever we are.
Yes.
There's no comparison to anything. We're always just seeing what we're seeing. And the conversation Renee and Jen were just having points to that. How when we're together, you say something and that causes me to see something, and then I talk about what I just saw, and somebody else sees something in that, and it just builds in such a beautiful way. And because it's direct experience, it doesn't matter if somebody's been practicing for 20 years or 20 minutes. Direct experience is direct experience, and we're always talking about what's happening with us. And that's always helpful for everybody to see. It's kind of magical.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's magical, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to do the compassionate and courageous work of freeing oneself from the ravages of conditioning and self-hate, register now for the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. That's June 1st through 8th, and also in North Carolina on June 30th through July 7th.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yes. And there are only three more days to sign up for the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies. That means the deadline is this Friday, April 1st. So don't miss out on your opportunity to practice the art and skill of paying attention and deepening your awareness practice.
Such great training, such great practice.
Yes, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. The tools.
And for these and all other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to join our conversation today and talk with Sherry, you can press *6 and then 1 to make cash show. And a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes helps everyone. I think we're ready here, Sherry.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hello, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. First time I haven't been absolutely terrified when I heard the unmute.
Yes. You're actually breathing, taking in full amounts of air, and the heart hasn't stopped or anything like that. So this is good, huh?
Yeah, well, now I'm actually getting a little nervous, but
now that we're talking about it.
I shock ego a little bit by being excited, so that was good.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me on. I first, before I ask my question, I just wanted to say how much I loved the Good News update and all the many practice opportunities right now that are going on. It's just really been incredible.
Good, good.
Yeah.
There's always something, right? So you're in Seattle, yet you can be just as connected as if you were living in Murphy's, because there's always something that we can be doing.
Yes, and I am doing both the Zen coach, and that's I'm calling in for my commitment this week, and I'm also doing the morning with the mentors, which has been just incredibly helpful.
Oh, good. Can you say a little about that, or is that not what you will let derail you from what you called in to talk about?
Well, they might be sort of connected because really one of the things I've been struggling with is how to create a supportive structure. And so the morning with the mentors, what's been so great about it was finding... So what I noticed is I would wake up into conditioning and then I would spend a lot of the day in that conversation about when to do the different practices, how long I should do them, you know, should I do them now or should I not do them? And then, like, sometimes they wouldn't happen. Like, it was just a huge conversation around it. And in the mornings with the mentor, it was going to be the first thing I did every day, like even before getting out of bed. For me, that felt important, and it was crazy hard the first day, and then sort of hard the second day, and actually kind of easy on the third day, which to me, like, I was just thinking, boy, the stamina wasn't there in a way I expected it to be with how hard it was the very first day to.
So you thought conditioning would be able to go at you like that for the rest of your life, right? You're going to have to it's going to be a fight to the death every day that you try to pick up that recorder.
Exactly, yeah.
But it wasn't.
And it wasn't at all. And then, so I had a couple days of pretty, I might almost even say easy, and then it shifted a little and tried something new. But because the commitment was so specific, that was easier to see.
Uh-huh. So because of the program you're doing, the class you're doing, you had specific, it wasn't like you had to just reach over there and pick up the recorder and then make up something to say or find something to, because that, with that, we tend to be, let's see, what is it, just kind of in the sights of conditioning, right? It's really gone.
Yes.
You just woke up, and you're kind of vulnerable anyway, and it's already after you, and now you've got to figure out what to do. But with this class, you already have something that you're going to do.
Right, and I'm awake, so I know it should, but, it, you know, like, that's my commitment, is it's now. Like, it's not a conversation about, well, maybe you should have a cup of tea first, or maybe you should do this first. It's, nope, just do it. And as soon as there's that sort of thing to grab onto, that's how I sort of felt like I pulled myself out.
Yes. Yes, exactly so. Yeah, I just love it. And so how long has this been going on? How long have you been doing this?
It's not even a week yet. We haven't even finished our first week. So
all right.
I'm totally blown away. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're loving it. Is that too strong a term?
I am loving it.
I
am loving it. And I'm loving it so much that, like, the nut of my real question that I wanted to, like, the other thing, like, the main thing I'm curious about right now is about having structure like that sort of throughout my whole day, because I feel like it's so great in the morning to have that clarity. And I'm considering kind of setting up a at-home retreat for myself, but like for a month or 6 weeks or something with somewhat of a very regular schedule, sort of like the monastery. And my question about that is, how do I do that without conditioning taking a hold of the actual creating the structure so that I'm not setting myself up for something by creating this and keeping it really from, you know, into in a realm of a compassionate and supportive structure that'll be similar to this, you know, to what I'm doing with this recording and listening.
And so is your relationship with the mentor such that you could have that conversation, or does that seem a little high level at this point?
I think I could have that conversation, but I feel like I still get tricked a lot into, you know, into ego, like sneaking in there.
Oh, yes. It is the great trickster, isn't it? So here's my encouragement. Less is often more. So if you're going to, what would you like to do in your monastery-esque schedule? What would you like to accomplish?
So actually, that is the first sort of flag that I got, and that's why I was calling in, because of course it wants to sort of be big and all-encompassing of my life. Like, it wants to be about blocks of time and what I'm eating and how I'm exercising and how I'm practicing.
The great month-long makeover.
Okay,
so you're on to that. So would you like to have support in what are the areas? Would you like to have support in terms of what you eat, exercise, maybe sitting practice or recording and listening, or what are the kind of the first? Like, we could even put them in a, well, first I'd like to tackle this and then this and then this, because you're going to practice for the rest of your life, right? So there's no hurry to get it all done this month. So how would you like to kind of stagger those?
Well, I think if I would pick my one that feels like it's jumping out the most is just structuring time for the day and trying to get sort of a regular schedule around, you know, like waking up and what time you eat and making it feel like just eliminating a lot of the decisions, because I feel like that's where I get totally derailed if I don't have a plan.
Yeah. And given that things change, right? So what works this week might not work one day next week and that sort of thing. So do you have that kind of flexibility? You have to be to work at a certain time or that sort of thing?
Well, I do, but that's sort of what I was hoping to kind of build that into it so that I had sort of work blocks, like kind of like it is at the monastery where you have like a three-hour chunk here and a lunch is more or less this time. You know, your maybe exercises generally the same time each day.
Because that would fit with your body rhythm. That would feel good to you.
I feel like it would, but that's sort of that's a little bit. I'm wondering if this is trying to get
you have a coach, Kate.
Do
you have a coach, Zen coach?
I do.
Okay, because this would be great to bring up with your coach and get support. But just from what you're saying now, if I were doing it, because I have to do the same thing in my life, because I just like it. It makes me happy. I don't idealize get up in the morning and decide what I'm going to do. I know what's going to make that decision, or soon would, right? I might be fine for a little while, but I know what it would slide into. And so I like the get up around, you know, to me, I like to start before that, which is what time I'm going to eat dinner. And I just have this suspicion that we're healthier if we eat a little bit earlier. So maybe I might decide that I'm going to eat around 6 o'clock, and then I'm going to be in bed ready to sleep by 10. And then in the evening, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. You know, maybe you want to do some yoga. Maybe you want to sit before you go. Maybe you want to record and listen. Maybe not. Maybe you just want to visit with friends or whatever you want to do. Then when you get that settled down, what time you go to bed, it's easier to know what time you're going to get up. Not to an alarm, okay, but just to let your body find its rhythm. And soon you'll start waking up when you've slept enough. And then you're going to do your mornings with the mentor, right? And then you're going to look to see, do you like to have a cup of tea then? Do you like to, is that when you'd like to do, 10 minutes of yoga and a sit or like that? What? And then, maybe you do something crazy like have breakfast and shower or something like that. And so to give yourself chunks of time, as you're saying, to do these things. And then maybe you're finished with all of that by 9:30 or something like that. And then you work until lunchtime. And then there's that. And not to make it, so now I have to do all homemade organic meals for myself. Because that's the kind of thing that conditioning loves for us to get into and torture us over, right? So not
right.
that. But then you know that, as you say, between 12 and 1:30, somewhere in there, you're going to eat lunch. And then you're going to maybe have another period of working meditation. And then it'll be time to finish your day. And somewhere in there is your exercise. Maybe you like to exercise toward the end of the day. But maybe you like to exercise first thing. So you're just going to find your rhythm with it. And above all, and you're finding out, it's a workshop, right? You're finding out. And above all, there's no conversation.
Okay.
There's no voices coming in and telling you need to do this or you need to do that, or you're just finding your way. You're experimenting. You're exploring. And you're letting life guide you. So what you're really doing is looking for insights from the intelligence animating you about how best to be in your life for the greatest benefit for all, not just you. It'll benefit all of us.
Okay. That's really helpful.
Good. Yeah, because that's the bottom line. No voices, no comparisons, no standards, because we're just finding out. So you can't have standards when you're just finding out. And let it be fun, okay? Let it be enjoyable.
Okay. All right, it sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. With that attitude of mine, I think it will be, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. You're helping her have the life of her dreams.
That sounds amazing. Thank you very much.
You'll let me know, right?
I will. I'll report in. Okay. Thank you.
All right, good. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Kate. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
I haven't called in a long, long, long time.
I know. What have you been up to?
Well, I think having a toddler just changed my ability to do all those lovely things you just talked about in the last phone call. Having autonomy of my time and being able to structure things in that kind of way. It's not been like that exactly.
Yeah. I remember those days. Just get lucky to get to the end of the day and you haven't lost anything and you haven't destroyed anything. Didn't go off and leave something on the stove and burn down the kitchen or any sense. Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah, I feel like, multitasking is becoming a habit too, that it's been it's been really much, much harder to sustain in practice. And it's been very humbling. I feel like everybody else. And, you know, I don't have any pretensions around my practice at all anymore, where I think I might have at one time. So
It builds compassion, doesn't it? You just look at other people's lives and say, I really don't know. I wish you all the best, but I'm not going to have any opinions.
I wouldn't trade it in either. I mean, I'm definitely not caring as well for myself as I really loved doing, and I'm sure I will again. But I wouldn't trade it in at all, because I think some of the qualities I was hoping to have by having that practice, I'd love to know, like, just have a series of practice opportunities through the course of my day. I guess I could, but it's more remembering very, very things I can do, like remembering my breath. I like to use a mantra just to have something I can hold on to. I can do that, and I can watch myself multitasking sometimes, which never works anyway, but it seems to be... I don't know.
Well, you're trying to keep up. You're trying to keep up. But the thing to me that you're pointing at that is important for all of us, actually, it's just a little more life and death with little people in our care, is that you have to practice taking advantage of the moments you have. Right. So if there are a few minutes where there's nothing else going on, what the voices will talk us into is, okay, so she's down for a nap, and you have this hour. Say, do the laundry, get caught up on the, you know, check your email, and the discipline to say, no, actually, she's taking a nap. It's quiet. It's a time for me to come back to myself, because that's in the big picture what my family needs, what everything and everyone needs for me now is not the laundry to be done, but for me to have a period of time to come back to presence.
Yeah, no, I'm so with that. But Sherry, there's something I called about, so I don't want to go further with it, and I want to just say that I think you already spoke to it earlier in the radio show, so maybe it's not even necessary, and I'm sensitive to the time. I think I called you over 3 years ago, and I was faced with a decision, and you said, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and you'll know, and that's it, and don't look back. And, you know, and that was great. And now I'm faced with another big decision, and I was like, you know what, I want to call in, Sherry, I really want to call in. Still listen to your archives, but I've been definitely out of the practice. So faced with a big decision for the family, and I just have been watching my mind sort of go crazy in that. And then when I speak to old friends, and it's been very clear what I seem to be committed to doing, but the voices in my, like the protest about the difficulties that are required to take the steps that I seem to be about to take, which I think will have serious challenges to it, scary thing, seems like I keep getting pointed back in that direction. It almost seems like it's, I don't know whether it's coming from the other people or it's coming from me, but it's like I don't want to do it, but it seems to be what's happening. It's like...
Okay, can I ask you about it, Debbie?
Yeah.
Okay, so now when you first started talking about it, it sounded like this was something that you were headed toward, and the voices in your head were really in opposition to.
Absolutely.
But then this last part sounded like maybe other real people are also joining with the voices in your head?
No, the people, like, as I talk to them, like, I'm calling old friends, I'm calling people to just bounce ideas off of, and I keep thinking that I'm going to call someone, and they're going to be like, absolutely you shouldn't do that, which is what the voices in my head are saying, but in fact, they're not saying that at all. They're almost reinforcing.
So the only place,
forward.
The only place you're hearing the negativity is from the voices in your head.
Oh, and it's so it's so negative. It's, and you know, I am brought back to, like, while sort of testing the waters with this thing. There was a trip to go test the waters, and the voices in my head were reminding me of when I took a retreat there and sort of tracked the voices. And I there was a specific voice, there was a specific phrase that has driven me, you know, and it's driving me in such a painful way that's just making me feel so small. And I can watch it doing that, just make, you know, almost it would suck all the life away from me and just make me live in a tiny little box I listen to that voice.
Okay.
And it's there.
Okay.
So
all
mean.
Right, I'm ready. so mean. Oh, so mean, so vicious, so violent, yes. So I am doing this other retreat. Started out to be a year long, but it's an ongoing retreat. And I invite people into this who are ready to end suffering in their relationship with the voices. Okay, and period. that's what we're doing. And it's a completely harmless, innocuous thing that people are asked to do. And the voices go ballistic. Okay? And one of the gals in the retreat said, it's as if I'm making atomic bombs in the basement. Okay? There is nothing wrong with what she's doing, but the voices are so violently in opposition that if we weren't doing it together, of course, no one would carry on. And so what I encourage people with, and it's what I'm going to encourage you with, you're going in the right direction, and what you're going to have to do is face down those voices. No content, just process, just say no. Nope, not listening. Not listening to you, not paying attention.
Redirect my attention.
Redirect my attention right back here. Nope, I'm not listening. Nope. Because they've decided that this is the battle that they're going to fight with you. Right? Because, I mean, they could have just, you know, played a different hand and it wouldn't come to this. But they've decided that they want to duke it out right here, and it's the OK Corral. And so this is your opportunity to just cut them off. That's it. Because as we were talking about earlier, you cannot do it wrong. So whether you stay in Kansas or move to New York or vice versa, you cannot do it wrong. You're going to have the life experience that you have regardless. So those voices are completely irrelevant, and you get to face them down.
Yeah. I wonder if it's transparent when they're there. Like, I wonder whether people know when I'm experiencing them first. Like, whether it changes my energy.
Yes.
I would imagine so.
And Debbie, that's the whole this other retreat that I'm doing. That's the thing that people are getting out of it. That how we are internally is just going boom, 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 out into the world. And everything is reacting to us because of that. Now, the voices would say, well, people are reacting that way to you because of what you're doing. No, people are reacting to you that way because you're engaged in a conversation you're listening to and believing those negative voices in your head.
And the more I do it, the louder it is and the harder it is.
For a while. for a while, and then it's like Kate reaching for the recorder. Okay? They can only do that for so long. That's why it's really important to, at some point, and of course they drew the line in the sand, but we can do it. We can just say, no, we're going to fight it out right here. And they can only come at you that way for so long. They only have so much energy. And if you just stay right there and say, okay, come on, come on, come on, come on, oh, come on. Is that all you've got? No, come on, come on. I want to hear it all. I want to know it all. Tell me everything. And they dissipate. Now, will they rev up again and try to come back? Yeah. But what you will have seen is they cannot best you. They can't. The only way they win is that people give in.
Yeah.
If you just hold your ground, they got nothing.
So when you say hold your ground, that's going to be with recording and listening and just like
that's
really
right.
hearing
and
what the voices are saying and being like, are you kidding? Like, what a joke. Like that?
That's right. And of course, what we don't want to do with recording and listening is let them get the recorder. So the way we handle that is, so the voices are coming at you, they're telling you something, and you pick up the recorder and say, what the voice is saying is blah, 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 blah. And that's a lie. The truth of the matter is, and then you say what is true. Okay? And then it comes at you with something else again, and you just say, okay, so now the voice is saying da 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 da. But you never let it talk. You never let the voice talk onto the recorder.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can paraphrase or describe what they say, but then also say, and that's ridiculous because or whatever, refute.
That's right. You refute it. Exactly so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you
yeah,
just
yeah,
keep living. You keep living in that. And one of the other little things that I think is really helpful, whatever this is that you want to do, that you're getting ready to do, you want to record about why you want to do that, why it's important to you, what this means to you, the difference that it is, the good things that you see coming from it, how it'll be helpful, how it'll be beneficial, whatever it is. And that's what you listen to. That's what you keep turning your attention to, is what's true for you.
Okay. That's great. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
Sherry, thank you so much. Thank you.
You
so
are
much.
So welcome. I hope it's not another 3 years, but if it is, it
no,
is.
No, I know. It shouldn't be, right? I mean, I don't know how many years this goes on before I can get myself
She'll
back.
Be in school soon. She'll be in school.
Getting a little better. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you,
Debbie. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're
so
welcome.
Bye,
good night.
Good night, Michael. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Debbie. It's great to hear from old friends, Sherry. And
I know. And then you hear these little people, and now it's 3 years old. She's 3 years old, and you say, oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, it's good.
Yes. And now we're going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Sure thing.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Rico. I was Am I on the line?
Yes, you are, Rico. How are you doing?
Well, I still haven't figured out this telephone that my kids got for me, so I'm just checking out.
Well, you're doing fine so far.
Well, hello.
Don't tell them, though. They'll give you something more complex.
I know, really. Let's keep a secret here, right? Well, it's just perfect timing because I listened to the show, I mean, every week I listen in, but maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago there was a dialogue about fear.
Mm.
And fear seems to be up for me in this time in my life.
Uh-huh.
And you had mentioned something about the fear book.
Yes.
So 3 days later, the fear book came to my home, and I got so much out of that. So much of the fact that I just can't say enough about gratitude for the practice, and it's also coupled with gratitude for the willingness to really give myself to the practice.
Yes.
And
yes.
But what is so remarkable? This I tell you, it's really difficult to really understand, and so I've given up trying to understand, but I really took to heart the encouragement to be an explorer, and I've gone in the last 4 months. I have gone through three very, very tough medical procedures. I mean, it's like, holy moly, they say getting old is not for sissies. Well, I tell you, it takes so much courage to go through with these. And what I gleaned from the book was, the fear book was, let's be an explorer and really discover for ourselves these signs which the mind interprets as, this is anxiety, this is panic, this is full-blown terror. Well, before we go to that interpretation, let's just describe the physical sensations we're seeing.
Oh, what a good point.
Well, it was terrific. And so then when the date was coming and I had to be taken to the hospital and go under anesthesia and say, say goodbye, have a phone call with my family, say, hey, I hope I come out of this okay. Probably I will, but was to be actually excited about the procedure rather than being driven to full-blown terror.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean, Rico. I also know that it sounds completely nutsoid to just about everybody. But it is the way to live because this is what's happening right now. And I can either let those voices take me into terror and miss it, or I can be here, kind of eyes wide open, till they knock you out, and be with this person, be with him, as this is going on, be with life unfolding in this moment, and see what happens, see what I see. What is there to learn?
Well, it's even gone another step forward. And that is, okay, so I don't have a life-altering medical procedure tonight or at 8 o'clock or tomorrow morning at 6, and yet I notice that I'm able to carry forward this curiosity, not just a curiosity about, notice how the mind wants to interpret these physical sensations as terror, but no matter what is happening, I see I can bring this curiosity and leave interpretation at the door, leave it outside.
Yes. Yes.
It's just...
And may I ask you about something else? Yeah. May I ask you about something else?
Please.
With that attitude, aren't you prone to saying thank you a lot?
Oh, gosh. Like... 1,000 times a day.
Yes.
Adjust, and it's not for the. It's more than for the beautiful, clean, abundant, clean drinking water that I have, or for the beautiful organic food that I have, or the shelter, or the funds to pay for it all, or the family, or the medicines and the health care. It's much more than that.
Yes.
It goes even before those blessings.
Can I ask you another one?
Please. Wow, we're on a roll.
All right. So if I say to you, rather than all that, which is wonderful to be grateful for, it is. It's wonderful to be grateful for. Not that we can, so this is one of those where, well, I'm just going to say it, and then I think you'll know what I mean. Before all of that, it's grateful for the relationship with life.
It's grateful for a direct relationship with life.
Yes. That's what we're thankful for. For the awareness, the consciousness, the presence, that you're here for it. We're here for it. Not the content of it. It doesn't matter actually what's happening. It's the relationship with life. It's knowing life is living me. That's what the gratitude is for.
And the willingness to be prepared to do whatever it takes to just man up. I have a new expression. I'm going to zen up here. I'm going to zen up and just do whatever it takes.
Say yes.
Say yes. And
yeah,
and
say yes and thank you.
Yes and thank you. Yes and thank you. Yes and thank you. And so... I have another comment, and that was about the voices. So, I've been in your circle, in your sangha for a while, Sherry. And there's nothing wrong with your retreat I did last century, I think. Literally, I think it was. And on Easter, my daughter and her kids live on the East Coast. And it's Easter, and I don't hear that much from the kids, even though I'd like to spend more time with the grandkids. And it's always a very similar, almost always, a very disjuncted, chaotic, well, they're out trying to get some breakfast for Easter, and we have 2 minutes before we get our table. And so it's over, and I hear a conversation start. Well, you know, if they really, really wanted a relationship with you, they would take time and really have a talk with you. And what I learned through the Sphere book, as far as interpreting, is like, wait a second, that's some kind of baloney that the mind is spinning. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then another, I have a twin brother, and a very similar thing happened on Easter Sunday with him, which follows a similar pattern. And as soon as this very disjuncted conversation is over, the voice starts in about interpreting what the relationship is about and where it is.
What that means. What all that means.
It's just what it is. And it's such a huge, huge, huge relief to just be in life and not have to have a movie narrator commenting upon what anything means.
Yes. So we can add one other piece to that. To be in life, and to be in love. So what we can do is get off the phone and say, I love those people.
Yeah.
I love my daughter. I love those grandkids. I love my brother. I'm so lucky.
Exactly.
I'm so lucky. And again, it's not that you're lucky to have them particularly. I mean, you are, yes. But the point is, you're lucky
to love.
To love. And what is so important is not needing the spin on it.
Yes.
On
that's right.
On
anything. No conversation. That's it. That's where we're going this year. By golly, we're losing interest in that conversation.
And it's what I begin to comprehend is that, you know, the conversations are going to be there. And it's like, wow, to be able to really step back and say, wait a second, I just don't believe it. There's
that's
a voice.
Right.
And there's,
it's not
there's
my conversation.
Like, it's not my conversation. And so where do I want to live? Where do I want to live? And so it's
extraordinary.
It's follow that.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing, as we say.
Well, I'm grateful to Sangha for giving me the courage to do this. Because
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, it's been no walk in the park to go through
right.
these things and to get to this.
Right.
And it's like, wait a second, whoa! If I don't, you know, like, what better time than now?
That's right. That's right. And lucky to be having it, because this is what's waking me up, and I'm here. This is my life. This, and I'm here, and I have love. And I know that it is possible to be present as life unfolds. I am among the luckiest people ever to inhabit this reality.
Yeah. And
all right. Well, thank you, sir.
The Fear book, I just really encourage people to really take advantage of that opportunity. It's been such a huge, huge blessing.
Good. Thank you. And I just said to Ashwini yesterday or the day before or something, we were looking at something in schedules, and I said, next year, could we just do a fear retreat, a transcending fear retreat? Doesn't that sound like fun? And she thought it did. So so there we go. It's
anyway,
in the air. Fun with fear. That's
there you go, boy. It's like, and I don't think we ever quite conquer it like in the movies.
No. No, no.
I think it arises in different forms, and it's just say, okay, here's fear again. Okay, show me what you got. Let's go.
Yeah, and learning to have fun with fear, because it's very educational, isn't it?
And freeing.
Yes, absolutely.
Those are three F's, fear, fun, and freeing.
Right, fear, fun, and freedom. That's us.
Sherry, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rico.
Thank you so much. I'll see you later in the summer in Carmel, Lord willing.
Oh, lovely. Oh, good. You, us, and Rumi.
Wow,
all right.
Rumi.
Very good.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Rico. Good night.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. That was a very fun conversation, Sherry.
Yeah. You know, it's always good. We never know. We don't. We never know. We're very fortunate in our Sangha that for whatever combination of reasons, people tend to stay around. But there's some point at which we're not going to be here. And so it's always lovely when somebody, especially when somebody's going through something so difficult, health-related, that, okay, made it over that hurdle, and here we are, and we're just going to keep going. So.
Yes, and with such a fabulous attitude, it's great.
Yeah. Inspiring.
Mm-hmm. And we have time for, I think, one more caller here, Sherry.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Menlo Park.
Well, hello, Anna.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I can't believe I got on. This is, people always say that. But yeah, I just, I had, I was listening to actually to an archive, and then I was like, wait, the radio show's on right now. I'm going to call in. And then,
I don't need to listen to an archive right now. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So I was just, you know, I was just, this is stuff we talk about. It was just occurring to me. The stuff we talk about, it's like, it sounds like, oh, fear, you know, having fun with fear. But, like, fear, I mean, this is
big stuff.
Stuff, you know. And we say this stuff about, like, moving the awareness. I mean, but this is big stuff. And I was just like, struck by that when I was listening to stuff earlier today where it's like, this is really big stuff that we're talking about here. And and it's not always easy.
Right.
It's simple, but it's not always easy. And so
that's
it's
right.
like,
that's right.
you know, like major medical procedure, you know, like really serious depression. And it's so heroic. I was just struck by it when I was listening to it. It's so heroic that we're
It
that
is.
We're all
and
doing
you know, what we're trying to do with this, I hadn't actually thought about it this way until you just said that. But what we do all the time in practice is try to normalize things
mm-hmm.
that we've been taught either to fear to the point of terror or hide
mm-hmm.
or be tortured by voices that say, well, you're the only one. And so as a sangha, I think one of the most important things that we do is say, oh, yeah, me too. Oh, yeah. Well, not yet, but I suspect it'll happen, right? Because we know whatever somebody is going through, we're going to have a chance to experience, if not the specifics of the content, then certainly the experience of the process.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and often actually something related to the content, you know, it's yeah. But yeah, absolutely. It's like I know what it's like to, you know, be afraid, and I know what it's like to go up against that, and I know how terrifying that is, and also how amazing it is to get on the other side of it. And so hearing you talk about it reminds me of the experiences I've had with it, and also if I'm in the middle of it, like knowing that I'm not alone with it.
Yes.
Gosh,
and that other
so
people
incredible.
Have gone before us, right? Other people have gone before us with every life experience there is. And they give us courage to that we can do it too.
Yeah, and you know what? One of the things that inspired me to call is you were talking with a caller about something. You know, she had gone through something hard, and was experiencing a lot of backlash, and was like, you know, you said something like, "Oh, that must mean things are probably going pretty well." And I was like, "Whoa, I forgot about that," because you know I've been going through some tough times too. And it is the assumption of like, no, this is just really hard and you're just scraping by. But hang on, maybe things are going really well. And that's why I'm experiencing this, like, you know, all this nervous system upsurge.
Yes. Yes. And we know that when somebody else is experiencing it, right? Because what we know is those voices will leave us alone if we're doing poorly, right? If we are, you know, so I'm, I have problems with alcohol, and if I go unconscious and I start drinking too much, the voices are not going to do anything to me, anything like
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen to me if I decide not to drink anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, because they already have me for lunch, right? I'm doing that.
That's exactly right. You're providing
so
your share of the meal.
It's working well for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
but as soon as you decide you're going to, you're going to get on the other side of it, and then suddenly you're going to be in a world of hurt. So it is
mm-hmm.
really, okay, wow, I must be doing a really good job because the voices are going nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so great to remember that, and it's so, like, I don't know, it's just inspiring to hear like that we're all doing this as a Sangha. Like we're all, like this is just the human condition. This is just how humans live in the world. You know, like you were saying, it's normal.
It's just normal.
Just the way life works, because there's such a like conversation, at least in my head, around, you know, this means such and such, and you shouldn't have such and such. You know, just like all this meaning making about the nervous system and the way
you're
it reacts,
failing.
You
you're
know.
Failing at human.
Yeah,
you're failing because if you were succeeding at human, you wouldn't be feeling this way.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we're sentient beings.
Yeah. Gosh.
We're sentient beings.
So,
we're supposed to feel.
Yeah, we're supposed to feel. And actually, I want to feel. It's like what you were saying, having fun with fear and normalizing it. It's just turning things around. And, you know, we just talk about it. It's like one of those things where is this a practice of experience? Because to just talk about it and understand it intellectually, it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But then to actually practice it, it's a totally different thing.
yes. Which is why we do the stuff we do, right? Because people could just stay home and even stay home and listen to a radio show. But that's not going to put us up against it, and it's not going to flush out those if we stay with fear, you know, unless we do something that threatens egocentric karmic conditioning self hate, we're never going to actually get to confront what it's up to. But when we cross that line, when we do, so Debbie started us out with that. You know, she's getting ready to do this thing, so she feels good about it. Everybody in her life is saying, well, sure, why not? And the voices are going crazy. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so if we continue to put ourselves in those places where the voices are going crazy, if we get it, they only go crazy because we're going in the right direction. If we really get that concept, okay, now I know how to find my course, right? Because that's the whole duality thing. Well, what do? They say this and they say this, they say this, they say this. I'm going to go after the one that causes them to start shrieking. When they start shrieking, I'll know I'm going in the right direction.
You know, it's so the opposite of, so, you know, there's a major, you know, there's big content shifting in my life. It feels like the past 10 years all the time, but, you know, there's these decisions, whatever, supposed decisions anyway, and it's such a different framework to be like, where's growth? You know, where am I going to grow the most instead of like,
that's
which is the best? You know,
that's right.
Which is going to be the most pleasant and easy and go, you know, make me feel good or something.
That's right.
It's just such a different framework for living life.
But that is such a beautiful one. We just have to underline it and talk about it a little more because that phrasing is it. Where's the growth? Where will I be growing and changing and learning? Because as we know, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing everything it can to keep us small, keep us stuck, keep us from doing anything that's going to threaten its control on us. And growth is the thing that threatens it most.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can just know that with growth, there will likely be, you know, backlash and just normalizing that, I think, is the process.
Yes. Yes, because when we turn that that fear, anxiety, terror, when we reframe that and we realize it's actually excitement, it's the thrill of being really alive. It's that I don't know. In the fear book, we talk about there I am up at the top of a ski slope, and I've never done this. I mean, it's a long way to the bottom. Can I get down there? The heart is just pounding and the palms are sweating and, you know, the mind is racing. And if we say, oh my, this is going to be a thrill I will never forget.
Mm-hmm.
There. That's the life experience we're going to have. Yeah, and that's where the growth is.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. There's the guiding light. You know, where's the growth? That's where I want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, I feel so grateful. Thank you, Sherry. I just feel like it's just such a privilege to have the support to be able to live a life
fully.
I mean,
right? To be fully alive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's
beautiful
not
thing.
Always easy. Yeah, and I just, you know, it's like you can just listen to the radio show and just, like, miss the fact that, like, every single person that's calling in is just such a hero.
Yes, and, you know, Anna, while we're on the subject, given how difficult it is, that it's a miracle that any of us have gotten as far as we've gotten. It really is. The odds of it in the big picture are really, really small. You know, it's that the Buddha talking about there's the ring out in the middle of the ocean somewhere and a sea turtle or tortoise or whoever those people are. The chances that it's going to surface and put its head up through that ring, that's about the same odds we have of getting to this point in a human incarnation where we have this possibility available to us. So it's just, it's crazy miraculous. And because it's so difficult, there's so much going against us, we really have to stick together. We just do.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel grateful to have people to stick
glad
with.
Glad we're sticking together.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Anna.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And wow, Sherry, that was amazing. What an amazing show. We're so lucky.
We are so lucky. We are so lucky.
Yes,
we just walk around and say yes and thank you.
Yes and thank you.
All right. Yes, Michael, and thank you.
Yes, and thank you. And talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. All right. Good night.
Good night.